Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is December 12th. Hard to believe. December 12th. It's Friday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you here at republicbroadcasting.org. I'm in Washington, D.C., which is the headquarters, as you may well know, of American Free Press. Do check out American Free Press on the internet at americanfreepress.net. And I really should mention the website that very graciously carries ebook versions of my various books. It's michaelcollinspiper.com. A lot of my articles up there, some videos. I should put a mask on when I do the videos. some videos I've done for American Free Press are up there. And also, folks, the entire photo section of the sixth edition of my book, Final Judgment. I think it's 36 pages of pictures with very detailed captions, which basically outlines the whole thesis of my book, Final Judgment, on the JFK assassination conspiracy. The reason why I bring that up is to just let you know, if you didn't hear last night's program, let you know some very interesting news, some very good news. Alex Jones has very graciously invited me to appear on his program to talk about my book, Final Judgment, and the role of Israel's intelligence agency, the Mossad, in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the role played by high-level players and low-level players as well. And the fact is, those connections can be made. They are very factual connections. And as I said to somebody earlier, in fact, it was Mark Glenn, co-host with Phil Turney of the Liberty Hour, which is heard Saturdays here on this network, the argument that I present in Final Judgment is as airtight as any of the other arguments you've heard. And the strength, I suppose, of Final Judgment is the fact that my thesis ties together a lot of the loose ends involving some of the other more commonly heard theses regarding the Kennedy assassination. So that's good news. Alex and his listeners are going to be able to hear, many of them for the first time, a lot of information about the history of the Kennedy assassination, the circumstances. But more importantly, I hope they'll understand why the Kennedy assassination is still important, that it does, in fact, the consequences of the Kennedy assassination still reverberate in our world today. Those who don't understand that, largely, don't understand the direct role of Israel's intelligence service in the assassination and the reasons for Israel's participation, its primary central role in the assassination conspiracy. And that was precisely because John F. Kennedy was trying to stop Israel from building nuclear weapons. This is, of course, old news to you regular listeners to this program. And, you know, I always have to remind you, you know, sometimes when I repeat myself, a lot of times I do it deliberately. A lot of times I can't remember when I've talked about some things, but obviously I remember I've talked about this time and time again. It bears repeating, precisely because of the fact that we don't have the same audience every night. We don't have the same people listening time and time again. We have a lot of regular callers, of course. There's a lot of people who listen and don't call. There's a lot of people who don't listen live. They listen on the archives. And let it be said, as I've said time and time again, I will remind you that RBN provides those archives, not just this show, but all of the shows, absolutely free. You don't have to pay, folks. You can listen to RBN live for free, and you can listen to those archives for free. So why not make a donation to RBN and help keep that possible? Thanks, folks. Now, stay tuned. A few news items, and I'm going to talk more about the Kennedy assassination, some of my personal revelations in regard to that, so to speak. Stay tuned.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries, they help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, reminding you once again, send a Christmas present to RBN. RBN needs it. We all need money, of course, ladies and gentlemen, but you know, RBN provides us a service that we wouldn't have without RBN, a real independent alternative talk radio. I guess 24 hours a day, if not quite 24 hours a day, almost. And of course, as I say, even if you don't listen live, you can listen on those archives absolutely free. Well, speaking of money, you know, this Sam Zell, this Zionist billionaire real estate tycoon, grabbed up the Chicago Tribune and the Baltimore Sun and the Los Angeles Times a few years ago. Now, of course, he's taken them into bankruptcy. And according to Harold Meyerson, writing in the Washington Post, Zell has, quote, effectively wiped out his employees' equity in the company and a share of their pensions while still managing to come out pretty well himself. Oh, he's going to go to hell, ladies and gentlemen. He's gone to hell. Speaking of going to hell, you know, over the years, I started out considering myself a conservative Republican. I would never call myself a liberal Democrat, but I'm sure as hell not ever going to call myself a conservative Republican anymore. This performance of some Republicans in regard to the bailout of the domestic automakers is just shameful. You know, they bailed out Wall Street with all these Zionist millionaires and billionaires who operate up there, these guys with gigantic salaries and all sorts of benefits. I mean, I can't even conceive of it. Most of you can't either. But these same people, they're standing in a way, apparently, as I understand it, and I haven't followed it closely because I'm no economist, but my understanding is that the reason why they don't want to bail out the auto workers or the auto companies is because they think the auto workers are too greedy. Oh, well, maybe that's my blue-collar bias coming out, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. Anyway, you know, my boss, Willis Cardo, the founder of Liberty Lobby, and certainly now publisher of American Free Press, he was featured in a recent column by Christopher Hitchens in the Times Literary Supplement. Hitchens was reviewing a new book about, guess what? Yes, another new book about anti-Semitism. And I want to read you the opening. It's a big, long, actually rather boring article, but the opening paragraph just caused me great laughter. And I called Willis Cardo on the phone and read it to him. And Willis got a big kick out of it and said, yes, I remember that happened just exactly as it did. Well, Mr. Hitchens, as you know, used to be kind of a maverick and used to be a kind of a critic of Israel and kind of a maverick. But then he suddenly discovered he was part Jewish. And after that, he seemed to do a switcheroo. But be that as it may, you're probably familiar with Christopher Hitchens. He's the one who once wrote the book Attacking Mother Teresa. Well, in any case, here's the introduction to this article. Here's his first paragraph. He says, I was once introduced in the Cosmos Club in Washington to Willis Cardo of the Liberty Lobby, a group frequently accused of being insufficiently philo-Semitic. That's kind of funny, insufficiently philo-Semitic. Mr. Cardo unburdened himself of quite a long burst about the power of finance capital, whereupon our host, to lighten the atmosphere, said, come on, Willis, you're sounding like Ezra Pound. Willis, it says here then, Ezra Pound, exclaimed Mr. Cardo, why, I love that man's work, except for all that goddamn poetry. I apologize for Willis's language, but that's what he said, and that's what it says here. I thought then that if one ever needed a working definition of an anti-Semite, it might perhaps be an individual who esteemed everything about Ezra Pound except his cantos. The cantos, of course, being Ezra Pound's famous poetry, which is, I think, incomprehensible, but a lot of people who say they know poetry say it's pretty good stuff. Even people who say, oh, well, that poor Ezra Pound, he was a great poet, but, oh, my God, he was an anti-Semite. Actually, Ezra Pound has written a lot of interesting stuff on money in a number of books written over the years attacking international finance capital. So if you ever get a chance to read any of that stuff by Ezra Pound, you might find it interesting. Well, I tell you what, folks, about a year ago, Mark Glenn appeared on this program and told a very interesting and disturbing story about how he and his entire family, every single member of his family, and he's got a big family, they all got sick with flu-like symptoms after Mark and two of the children, I believe, had been at a local mall up there in Idaho. And some Israeli vendors who were pushing around carts in the mall, and they were Israelis, Mark determined that from a conversation with them. These Israeli vendors held up these little perfumed pillows, forcibly held them up to Mark's nose and his son's nose, and said, here, try this out, smell this, sniff this out, see if you like it. Well, we see these people, these vendors, selling these things in a lot of malls. Well, here's something interesting. From the Washington Post, Tuesday, November 25th, Israeli leader Ehud Olmert was browsing at Pentagon City Mall yesterday. The outgoing Israeli prime minister checked out the Cole Haan store and Nordstrom, then waved to some ladies working a perfume cart who called out hellos. Now, this isn't a conspiracy theory, folks. This is just a little fact pointed out by the Washington Post. I just kind of suspect, now I've never really checked it out myself, but I suspect that perfume cart in the Pentagon City Mall is probably affiliated with those same perfume carts, the people running those perfume carts up there in Idaho. I wonder if the Israeli prime minister knew that these ladies at the perfume cart were Israelis. And then I go on to wonder, and now it's turning into a conspiracy theory, I wonder if Mr. Olmert knew that perhaps that perfume cart was pushing some sort of perfume that was some sort of test, so to speak, of some biological or chemical agent. Because the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Glenn and his son were almost immediately stricken after they breathed out of those perfumed little pillows. When I talk about pillows, I'm talking about little things that you can hold in your hand with little sayings on, like, I love you, and Happy Valentine's Day, and Merry Christmas, and probably Happy Hanukkah, or maybe have a nice Purim. But in any case, and that's probably what they, well, in any case, fact is, Mark and his family were stricken, and it's unusual when an entire family, obviously, a large family, is stricken almost within hours of such a thing happening. I think it should be investigated myself, but I doubt very much that it ever will be. Would be interesting to find out how many people in Mark's community and how many people in the Washington area have had strange little illnesses that erupted so soon after sampling these Israeli wares in our malls. If you have Israeli vendors peddling perfume in your malls, ladies and gentlemen, you might just be wary. And then again, you might just ask some questions very quietly and find out who they are and what they're doing there. Conspiracy theory? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know, folks. Well, talking about conspiracy theories, when we come back, I am going to talk about a conspiracy theory, and that is the Kennedy assassination. And I said earlier before the break that I was going to be talking about some personal revelations. I overstated that. That was a mistaken turn of phrase. I'm going to talk about my personal long-standing relationship with a very interesting and colorful individual who has been implicated in the Kennedy assassination, who has often been suggested as a possible bagman, as a possible behind-the-scenes operative working between the various groups that have been implicated in the Kennedy assassination, groups such as organized crime, Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters Union, the CIA, and yes, I hate to mention it, Israel's intelligence service, the Mossad. Now, these revelations, and I don't know if I would call it a revelation, but the comments made by this person to me regarding the Kennedy assassination were his assessment of my book, Final Judgment. And to just tell you right up front, this particular individual, whom I will name and describe in more detail when I come back, this individual was a very, very well-known, and I would say very, very powerful individual in Washington. And the fact that this individual gave a nod to my thesis, which I'll be discussing on Alex Jones' program, is something that anyone who is familiar with the Kennedy assassination, who has read the books on the topic, and there have been, of course, so many books on the topic, anyone who has read those books and knows the name of this individual, those people are going to have to sit up and listen. Because such an endorsement from such an individual for such a controversial thesis is very powerful indeed. And I think when I tell you who this guy is and what his connections are and how he has in fact been named by some pretty prominent JFK writers as having been one of the people who, if anybody knew anything about the Kennedy assassination, certainly did know something about it, I think you'll find it very, very interesting. So with that preface, I will go to the break. And when we come back, I will tell you all about it.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, discussing yet again the Kennedy assassination, a subject that won't go away. In fact, you know, some of my listeners have told me I don't talk enough about the Kennedy assassination in as much as I've written this big book on the topic. So those of you who are interested will be interested. Those of you who aren't, well, just bear with me, folks. Now, as you know, if you're a regular listener, I started to work for Liberty Lobby back in 1980 when I was not quite 20 years old, and now I'm 48. How time flies when you're having fun. And working for Liberty Lobby over the years, I got to know an amazing array of people from all walks of life, from all over the country. Some big names, some names you've never heard of. Well, it's kind of funny. This particular name that I'm about to give you is a name many of you probably never have heard of, but people in power do know who he is. I first met him when he would come into Liberty Lobby to renew his Spotlight subscription and buy books. He'd stop by once or twice a year. I know he was a Washington lobbyist, very entertaining guy. His name was I. Irving Davidson. First initial I, middle name Irving, last name Davidson, D-A-V-I-D-S-O-N. You can look him up on Google, find a lot of interesting information about him. I didn't know who Irv Davidson was, other than he was a very entertaining guy. I knew he was Jewish. I knew he was a lobbyist. I knew he knew a lot of people. And he was always very entertaining to talk to. And he used to always have a business card with him. And, you know, people who would not know him would see such a business card and think it was kind of something to laugh about, but this guy's serious. He had on his business card, facilitator, revolutions started, uprisings quelled, governments run, catalyst, door opener, arranger, adjuster, legislative engineer. You've probably seen one of those joke business cards, folks. A lot of people have them. The thing is, though, this is the stuff that I, Irving Davidson, did for a living. Now, it was many, many years before I came to understand exactly who Irv Davidson was. I'd known him for years, but in the course of reading more about the Kennedy assassination and reading Peter Dale Scott's book, Deep Politics and the Death of JFK, and John Davis's book, Mafia Kingfish, Carlos Marcello and the Assassination of JFK, I discovered who I. Irving Davidson was. He had been a very close friend and key Washington operator for Jimmy Hoffa, the head of the Teamsters Union, a close friend of Jimmy Hoffa. He was a Washington representative for the Murchison family of Dallas, the owners of the Dallas Cowboys. He was a very prominent Washington fan of the Dallas Cowboys, Irv Davidson. He, of course, and of course, everyone says it was at the Murchison home where the famous party was held the night before the Kennedy assassination, where Lyndon Johnson reputedly said, "I won't have to deal with the Kennedys after tomorrow." Irv Davidson also had been a representative for Batista, the dictator of Cuba who was overthrown by Fidel Castro. And later, Irv Davidson was deeply enmeshed in the anti-Castro operations involving the CIA and organized crime. And it will come as no surprise to you that Irv Davidson was also a close friend and facilitator for Carlos Marcello, the mafia boss of New Orleans. In fact, later in the early 1980s, Irv Davidson and Carlos Marcello were both indicted in a famous case known as Bri-Lab that ultimately sent Carlos Marcello to jail. So Irv Davidson knew a lot of people. He represented Papa Doc Duvalier of Haiti. He represented, oh, it goes on and on, folks. His name litters John Davis's book on Carlos Marcello and the JFK assassination. And Peter Dale Scott, who is said by many to be the preeminent researcher on the Kennedy assassination, Peter Dale Scott has written extensively about this man, Irv Davidson, and has said that he was a quote-unquote, a representative of the coalitions against the Kennedys. Other people have flat out said that if anybody knew what really happened in the Kennedy assassination, it was Irving Davidson. So Irv Davidson, I mean, I've only given you the tip of the iceberg, folks. He lived right around the corner from J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Johnson when Lyndon Johnson was in the Senate. Irv Davidson was also an intermediary, it is said, in the 1960 presidential campaign between the Johnson and Kennedy forces when John F. Kennedy picked Lyndon Johnson as his running mate. Davidson is also said to have been on hand when Carlos Marcello passed on $500,000 to the Teamsters Union to give to the Richard Nixon campaign in 1960. So, folks, I'm here to tell you, if you can't see that this man is obviously an insider, I don't know what else I can tell you. But one thing I didn't mention, Irv Davidson was also a Washington representative of the Israeli aircraft industry and generally for the government of Israel for many years. He also was the first person to bring Uzi machine guns into the United States. Irv once told me personally about that time. He had five Uzis. Irv was an arms dealer, too, ladies and gentlemen, a lobbyist and an arms dealer connected to everybody. And this is the guy that esteemed researchers like Peter Dale Scott and John Davis have said was tied into all the forces that were involved in the assassination. And some have even suggested that Irv Davidson had inside knowledge on the assassination. This is a friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen. More about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, reminiscing about my old friend Irv Davidson. All those things that I told you about him, I didn't know for many, many years. But as time went by, and then I started reading about Irv Davidson, it came as a surprise to me because I said, oh my God, that's the guy who comes in all the time. Well, on one occasion, a story came to us mentioning Irv Davidson. A story came to the spotlight. Now, you know, Irv liked the spotlight. He didn't agree with everything in the spotlight, nor did he disagree. He's actually pretty much a conservative Republican in his political orientation, old-fashioned anti-communist. But a story came up in which he was mentioned, and someone had submitted the story, and I said, hey, this is this guy who reads the paper. So we called him into the office to chat with him about the story, and as a consequence of that, he and I became friendly, and over a period of, what, maybe 10 years or more, Irv and I used to have lunch on a regular basis. Sometimes he would treat, sometimes I would treat. Different places around Capitol Hill, the famous Capitol Hill Club, where he was a member of the Republican Club on Capitol Hill. And I got to know Irv pretty well. Very entertaining guy. Would reminisce about some of his famous friends. And then I wrote Final Judgment, in which many, many, many of his friends were mentioned. I mentioned Irv in the book just in passing, more for my entertainment than his. I referred to him as a Washington lobbyist who was a friend of Carlos Marcello. Well, after Final Judgment was published, I sent Irv a copy of Final Judgment, and I got back a very funny St. Patrick's Day card from Irv with a caricature of him as a leprechaun. Many have said he actually looks like a leprechaun. But in any case, on the card he wrote, "Dear Michael, thanks muchly for your final judgment of me and others." And I'm reproducing that card in my next edition of Final Judgment. But in any case, it was about a month or two after that, I was visiting Irv at his office downtown. Very interesting office with a lot of his memorabilia from some of his famous acquaintances. And in the course of that, he said, "Your book, Final Judgment." He said, "I read it." He said, "I think that's pretty much what happened." Now, I want to tell you, folks, I got chills down my spine. Because here was somebody whom even the esteemed Peter Dale Scott had written was one of the people who was part of the coalitions against the Kennedys, whose name has been repeatedly connected, whether correctly or incorrectly, with the Kennedy assassination conspiracy, someone with ties to the CIA and to the Mossad and to the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, Lyndon Johnson, you name it, all the people that are named constantly in all the books about the Kennedy assassination conspiracy. My friend Irv Davidson said to me, "I think that's pretty much what happened." Well, what do you say when someone like this tells you that? Well, as I say, I was frankly taken aback. I just nodded my head, and he nodded his. And I can tell you, folks, that if everybody else in the entire world told me that Final Judgment was a piece of garbage with no reality in it whatsoever, I know one person who incidentally happens to be Jewish, who I sent a copy of the book. He always says, "It's all lies, it's all lies, it's all lies." That's all I can say. Well, Irv Davidson was Jewish. He was a representative of the government of Israel, tied up with organized crime, a friend of Lyndon Johnson and J. Edgar Hoover, who were his next-door neighbors, a close associate of Jimmy Hoffa, to the point when Jimmy Hoffa disappeared, the first person she called to find out if he knew anything about what had happened to her husband was Irv Davidson. Well, folks, when I have an endorsement for my book from somebody like Irv Davidson, that tells me everything I need to know. No, I didn't ask him any questions. I wouldn't have even thought of asking him any questions because I wouldn't have expected him to answer any questions. What's the old saying? Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, why would you associate with a man like that? Well, number one, because he's a very charming guy. Number two, because he was a regular reader of the Spotlight and he appreciated the work of the Spotlight in so many areas. Number three, as I say, he's very entertaining. And number four, you can learn a lot about a lot of things by knowing a lot of different people from a lot of different places with a lot of different connections. And Irv Davidson's a very, very old man now. I haven't seen him for years. He wasn't in the best of health the last time I saw him. But he's a great old guy. And I considered him a friend, and I think he considered me a friend as well. I have a lot of very funny notes that he sent me over the years. One time he sent me a whole stack of cash from Indonesia on one of his business trips over there. He was a friend of the Indonesian dictator and did a lot of business with him. he sent it to me and said, "Here's your bribe. Don't spend it all in one place." And when I went to Malaysia a few years ago, I knew that Irv had known former Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. And when Dr. Mahathir and I were having breakfast one morning, I mentioned Irv Davidson to him, and we had an interesting little chat reminiscing about what a colorful guy Irv Davidson was. So like I say, folks, when people say I'm crazy, when people say my conspiracy theory about the Kennedy assassination is way off base, it has no basis in reality, et cetera, I can tell you that I take great pleasure in knowing what Irv Davidson had to say. And when when Peter Dale Scott appeared on Professor Kevin Barrett's program on this network a year or so ago, I called in and surprised Mr. Scott, who has been a very private and vicious critic of Final Judgment, and told him, not identifying myself, that Irv Davidson had endorsed my book. Well, it caught Peter Dale Scott by surprise. I think his words were, "Oh, my goodness." And then I identified myself as the evil Michael Collins Piper, the author of that evil book. Well, I thought you might find that interesting, ladies and gentlemen. That having been said, I'm going to go right to the calls. We have Dave in Massachusetts. Dave?
Yeah, hi, Michael.
Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There
I
you
am.
Go.
Yeah. How you doing?
How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, I'm just getting out of harm's way here. I'm at work.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, did you mention... When I was watching, I just watch 15 minutes of the news on TV every day. I usually snap on Brian Williams till the first commercial. But did earlier in your broadcast, Michael, did you mention that Jewish man from New York that's associated with the disappearance of the $50 billion?
No, tell me about it.
Well, you know, yeah, some Jewish guy in New York, he's associated with just the disappearance of $50 billion, but I forget his name, but I received a telephone call. My phone started ringing in the middle of the story, but, you know, if it's in the mainstream news, I'm sure you'll find out about it.
That's very interesting. I hadn't heard about it. I don't listen to the news myself. If I do, it's purely by accident. I'll have to look it up then.
Yeah, I usually snap it on just at 6:30 till the first commercial is usually around 6:45 on Brian Williams. Anyways, we'll probably hear more about it. But hey, you know on John O'Neill, can I talk about him?
Yeah, please go ahead.
You know, Michael, of course, John O'Neill, he was the assistant director of the FBI at one time for quite a while. Okay.
All right. And, of course, he went on to become the director of security at the World Trade Center and died on September 11th.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is he was involved in the investigation of the USS Cole over in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was back in the days now when, you know, in other words, to me, it's obviously he got caught up in this Jewish web of intrigue. Now, Louis Free was FBI director. Now, are you familiar with Barbara Bodine?
Yes, I remember the name, but I'm not quite sure who she was. She was a U.S. ambassador to Iraq, maybe?
Well, yeah, that's where her career started, like with April Glaspie, right in Baghdad, in Iraq. She was all involved with that intrigue, but then she became ambassadress to Yemen.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she was ambassadress just to Yemen when the USS Cole was attacked. Well, anyways, just to make this kind of quick, anyways, apparently John O'Neill was connecting all the dots and everything, and he was coming to the conclusion that there was heavy Mossad involvement behind all this terrorism.
This is something that when I saw this documentary on John O'Neill called The Man Who Knew.
Yeah, or the Frontline documentary?
Yes, that one. I watched that, and knowing little bits and pieces about Mossad involvement in some of these different things that you're talking about, I came to that conclusion myself that, if anything, what John O'Neill knew was that even though there were these Islamic fundamentalist cells out there, that ultimately behind the scenes pulling the strings was Israel's Mossad. So that's good. My conclusion as well. I believe that. I believe that just as much as I believe that I'm talking to you on the phone right now, Dave.
Yeah, well, you know, so Barbara Bodine, she's a Jewess, and she was actually trying to strip John O'Neill of his security, his actual personal security over there in Yemen, and he felt like he was being set up to be hit by the Mossad.
Right, exactly. See, that's what they're, yes, it was very, very interesting that the more O'Neill, you know, O'Neill was sincere in trying to get to the root of terrorism and trying to find out what really happened. And, yeah, that's my conclusion as well, Dave, that what happened there was that he was getting a little bit too close.
Yeah.
And certain people didn't want him to do his job.
Yeah, no, this is just the beginning, Michael, because then he wanted to go back, and I guess the way it works is these ambassadors and so on have the final word, and Bob Le Bodine wouldn't let him return, wouldn't approve his return to Yemen, and she had the final word on it. But now what's interesting, very interesting, Michael, is now this Larry Silverstein now, he's the one that approached John O'Neill to take the job to be security chief at the World Trade Center. It wasn't John O'Neill that approached Silverstein or applied for a job there. He was approached by Silverstein's gang. So, you know, you got this Louis Free and you got this Bob Le Bodine and, you know, and Larry Silverstein and so on. But now, supposedly now, anyways, he accepted Silverstein's offer and he took the job. But now supposedly he was missing in action. He was mysteriously absent for 2 days before 9/11. Nobody knew where he was. He didn't report to work. Nobody knew where he was or anything. And then, I might be a little. I just recently read this, so I might be a little foggy on the details. But I think only like around September 21st or something, about 10 days later or something. Supposedly, his body turns up intact among the ruins at Ground Zero of the World Trade Center. And everything, but I was watching this Bob Le Bodine, this sickening Jewess, and they never quit, Michael. Now I just listened to her speech at the World Affairs Council up there in Northern California, on the anniversary of 9/11 this year, of 2008, but they're just globalists. They want, they're obsessed with their Jew world order, Michael. But I'll tell you what, when some of these Jews, I'm not going to say all the Jews, but when Jews, when they start murdering Irishmen, good patriotic Irishmen in this country, that's when I start taking it real personal.
Good for you.
That's the reason why. That's just one of the reasons why they don't want a real investigation into what really happened. Because John O'Neill would be a big factor in this.
You know, Dave. A lot of people would say, and I know what a lot of people would say. They would say, "Well, if he was investigating the Mossad and in 9/11 and the Islam, or not in 9/11, but in all these terrorist actions, why would these people like Silverstein, the god of Jewish lightning?" Why would they hire him? Well, part of the reason they would hire him would be to keep him close to the vest, to know exactly what he's up to and to try to keep a handle on him. That's why they would do that, because they would rather have him in their circle than outside the circle, spitting in, as Lyndon Johnson indelicately put it. He didn't use the word spitting. He used the word, I won't use it on the air.
Well, they had advanced knowledge. They knew what was going to happen, and they probably murdered him a couple of days before 9/11.
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, I will tell you this much. I think you're wrong about that, because, as I recall, he did, in fact, report to work and was at the Trade Center on September 11th. So he was seen that day. But, your general point is well taken. I don't disagree with you at all on that.
Yeah, okay. I'm just getting this stuff off the internet, so I have to look into it more. But that was just one report, so that could be in.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If there's some diligent researcher out there who really wanted to do one hell of a book, it would be a book about John O'Neill and what John O'Neill did really know, as opposed to what they're now pretending that he knew. That's that was my reaction when I was watching that video. It was like, what they're doing is they're telling us their version of John O'Neill for the official record, when in fact the real version of what John O'Neill knew or suspected was completely different. And that's how they do it. They do it right in front of you, in your face, kind of defying you to call them liars. They put out these lies, these blatant lies, right in front of you, just like Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy. Put it in front of your face and say, prove me a liar,
knowing that they
have all the inside information.
Yeah, no, the top man, the top security chief over there in Mumbai, I think it was Jarjari or something, now him and his team were murdered before the before the Mumbai attacks. Who murdered them? You know, in other words...
Well,
I know. He was like John O'Neill. You know, Jar Jari was like Mumbai's John O'Neill. And he was murdered before the terrorist attacks in Mumbai. And his team, too, his about a half a dozen of his direct subordinates were murdered.
Well, of course, they'll have us believe that it was a bunch of Muslims hiding in caves.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Dave, listen, we're going to the break. I appreciate your call. I want to try to squeeze in one more caller when we come back. That's Art in Philly. Dave, thanks for your call as always. Very interesting stuff on John O'Neill. All right, folks, we are going to the break.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
Gentlemen, welcome back. We're wrapping it up here. We can squeeze one more caller in. Art from Philadelphia. Art, come on up.
How you doing, Mike? Thank
What's
you.
What's going on?
All right. Just going with the flow. I was going to talk about the assassination, but take it forward. Here's a question. What do you know about the tie of Stephen Friedman, of Duane Amorth and all this? He was the founder of the Likud. He's a close right-hand man of Netanyahu. He's tied into Olmert. And he's tied into Silverstein.
I have to tell you, I don't even recognize the name.
Okay. He is the right-hand man of Netanyahu to help him rise to power.
Okay.
He was basically, he's the founder of the Republican Jewish Coalition chapter for Philadelphia. That organization was founded by Max Fischer, who
okay.
was the Purple Gang mobster,
mm-hmm.
who was working under Mo Dalitz. Okay. And I'm just trying to, and he's also, his lobbyist for his law firm is Robert Asher, the convicted felon.
Okay, I knew the name of that law firm, and now I know why I know the name of the law firm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So everybody in the entire country to use, he uses a convicted felon in the Bud Dreyer case, who also is the Pennsylvania Republican Party National Committee man, which is another
mm-hmm.
question.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have a convicted felon there? And I know the reason why, but I'm sure we don't have much time there. But there's a definite tie, if you want to tie all this.
Well, that's, you know, this is what I always say. It's not even in regard to the Kennedy assassination or any of the other intrigues that are going on in this country. It's not one big happy family. It's one little tightly knit family.
Correct.
And you mentioned Max Fischer. Max Fischer was the guy who basically was the grand old man behind Gerald Ford, who sat right up there on the Warren Commission. Gerald Ford wouldn't say boo unless Max Fischer told him to. And, of course, Max Fischer was tied in with Morris Dalitz and Tibor Rosenbaum, who was the guy behind the Permandex entity on which Clay Shaw of New Orleans sat on the board of directors, tied into the Mossad and Israel's nuclear weapons program. So very, very tightly connected.
Well, there's three operations that tie this in together. One, going back to World War II, was Operation Underworld, when they sunk the SS Normandy.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then the next one was Operation Zapata, the Bay of Pigs affair, which is
Absolutely.
Really the Kennedy assassination. That was followed by Operation Mockingbird, which is when the Annenbergs basically took over the government.
Mockingbird. I know that name, but I don't know the exact connection there.
It was to take over the media. It was Operation
Mockingbird. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. The media. That's right. When the CIA started infiltrating the media. That's absolutely
right.
Correct.
And
so it's all just a very, very small group of people who all know each other. And if they don't know each other, they know somebody who knows somebody.
Right. But it seems like the focal point to find out where this corruption is going on now would be sort of look into who and what who that political power circle is right around Stephen Friedman and Duane Morris.
That's a very interesting name, Stephen Friedman.
Right. And the law firm is Duane, D-U-A-N-E, Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, out of Philadelphia.
Does he spell Stephen P-H-E-N or V-E-N?
It's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, I believe.
Okay, all right. I'm going to look more into him. That's very, very interesting. He's one of the current players in a corrupt family. Some would call it the Mishpucha that has gone back generations, and the sons and daughters take over where their fathers and mothers left off.
Right. And basically, he was getting funding from the Likud, from the Lanskys, and he got Benjamin Netanyahu in power. And he also is very closely tied in with Olmert.
There you go.
All right.
Art, thanks for that call. Very, very interesting.
Right,
you tied up a lot of loose ends in just a few minutes. Very, very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Follow through and check those things out for yourself. All right. Well, I talked a lot this evening, and we missed a lot of callers, but I appreciate them taking the time to call in. We'll be here Monday night, God willing.
Can't decide.